There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. You can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, we greatly appreciate you sharing the show, letting your friends, your family know that we exist on social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you may like to use. We greatly appreciate that. And of course, the reviews out there on iTunes and all that also help us out quite a bit in letting other folks know about it. So if you've not done so yet and you enjoy the program, leave us a little review there on iTunes. We always like to see the show climb the charts. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello. So I was listening earlier in the day to some early EPP episodes, like all the way back in the 20s. like way back. I was just putting together a new promo, which actually that's what you heard at the beginning of this episode. You didn't hear it because it's just digitally inserted.
Okay.
But it's just a new about EPP episodes. And I was shocked how much I don't remember. You know, because it was almost like listening to completely new ghost stories for me. Like, oh, this is a great story. I have no idea where this goes or how this ends. And I like coherently commented on it afterwards, so it went through my mind at some point.
Yeah,
but there is just so many damn episodes, EPP episodes, with just great ghost stories in. I have to tell you, if you're not an EPP yet, check it out. And you start at whatever end you want, or start in the middle. But from EPP 1 to 116 or 17 or 18, whatever we're up to now, just good stuff in there. There was one, and there's a little clip of it in that promo where it was a really good, it was a call that we had in an EPP, and it was a gentleman who had a ghost girl in his kitchen, and I don't know, all the details still.
Is this the one where she changes clothes?
They've escaped me, even though I've listened to it earlier in the day, but part of it was, he's in there, then he hears this little girl whispering, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?" You know all the details of these things.
That's my job.
Yeah, it's mine too. I'm just not good at it.
No, you have other parts. I've always had this weird talent of being able to remember trivial things. Not that their stories are trivial, but it's kind of that part of my brain that I use.
Sure.
I can remember whose story, what it was, the gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I bring to the table as far as trying to keep track of what we have and have not listened to.
You said there, what happened? You said that the clothes changed or something?
No, that was a different story.
Okay.
That was a different story.
But I was just observing, like, wow, that was a great story. So anyway, if you are an EPP, make sure you dig back far into those episodes because there's so many really good ones. It's not just like, oh, the last 20. Because I do that sometimes when I'm into a show. It's like, oh, listen to the last couple, you know?
Sure.
But there's a lot of great ones on there. Anyway, you can check it out at ghostpodcast.com to hear all those. Let's go to our first caller today. Sharon from Missouri. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Shannon again from Missouri. I am calling. I called the other night. I'm calling back with a couple more stories for you. I got cut off last time, so I was recording something, and it just completely cut me off, so I don't know what happened there. But anyway, I have a story. My mom and her, one of her very good friends, my mom's told me about this, and I know her friend very well, family friends for years. She got remarried, and her new husband bought this beautiful Victorian home that they were going to keep, like, the old charm to it, but it just needed some things fixed because an old couple had lived in it probably for 50 years. And the older man in there had just passed away. His wife had passed away, I think, a couple years prior, and it was sold to them. They started renovating, and I know they say about renovating, but they weren't renovating their master bathroom. And my mom's friend said every single time they would come home at night, everything in the master bathroom medicine cabinet would be taken out, everything, like every last thing, and lined up on their bathroom counter every night. And they were kind of creeped out by that because they knew that, like, the renovation people weren't doing it and they weren't doing it. And it was just very weird. And one night my mom was there playing bridge with her friends, and she showed them, like, how this would happen. Like, she showed them the stuff lined up. And my mom said it was really weird because it was lined up so neatly and so precise. It was as if, like, whoever or whatever was doing it wanted attention, like, look, here I am. And her friend said it wasn't like it did not have a malevolent feeling to it, like it wasn't a mean or a nasty thought. But she just said it was as if maybe he was just trying to say that that was his house, or maybe, like, you know, maybe he didn't want to leave, or I don't know. I can't, you know. And it did stop after a while. And she didn't do any drastic house cleanings or anything. It was like, I think she just, you know, he probably figured out that, or, you know, the people that used to live there that had passed, maybe they just realized that my mom's friend and her husband were, that they accepted them and that it was finally okay. But I don't, you know, you don't know, that's speculation, but it did stop. Like, none of the activity continued. But they did say also, like, a lot of times they'd come home and the kitchen drawers would be open and cabinets would be open, and you could just tell it was the same type of stuff, like, just attention grabbing, like, hey, we're here. And then the other story we have was, I don't know if you remember a movie that came out in 2011 called Munger Road. I told you that I grew up in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. This is about a haunted railroad, and it's about, I think, it's a school bus of children, and it got stuck on the tracks, and, tragically, all these children were killed. And they would say, like, if you parked your car and turned it off and put, like, baby powder, sprinkled it in the back, like, you could see little footprints of whoever these kids were, and they would push your car. And obviously in the movie, Hollywood added stuff and added, like, but it was like, I think they took the core idea of what Munger Road was about, and they went from there and added their own storylines. But my friend had me go out there, and another thing that they would always say is if you went at night and you looked in the rearview mirror and you turned off your headlights, you could see headlights behind you, but you could never figure out where the source of, like, the mysterious ghostly headlights were from. Like, you could see them, and it would be like you'd think they were getting close to you, and if you stopped your car to see if you could finally see where they would just, you know, like, eventually just dissipate. Really creepy. And then another thing would be, like, your car would often stall on this road. So my best friend convinces me to drive her out there, and I said, well, I'm not going there at night. So I said, after school, we can drive out there. And my car was a couple years old. And it was an automatic transmission, because I know I can drive stick, too, and I know sometimes stick just, you know, your stick might, you know, especially in older cars, like an old, you know, I remember I learned on an old VW Beetle, like, it'll just stall. Like, sometimes you don't even mean to. You just, you know, you accidentally stall it. But I had an automatic transmission, and this car was a couple years old. And we drive out there, and the road was just abandoned to me. It wasn't as creepy as the Ovaltine building was that I was telling you about, where you really got a feeling that someone was watching you and that you had this feeling of, like, get out. But it was just sort of like, wow, what happened here? You know, like, clearly there used to be a lot of homes, and now they're dilapidated, and it just seemed you know, like it was deserted, really. And it's a long stretch of road. And I think Munger, it's Munger Road, and I think the tracks came across it. And you would cross the, and they were abandoned. By, there was no more trains. I mean, it was an old abandoned track. And I was driving, and my car stalled. My car never stalled. So I'm, like, panicking, you know. This is when there's no cell phones. There's no iPhones. You know, I think I had one of those huge brick phones under my seat that my dad had given me. He's like, don't use that unless it's an emergency. And I wasn't even thinking about it at that time. I just wanted to get my car started. And I'm, like, sitting there, and it had never happened before. You know, like, I had never had car trouble, and especially to have it happen in the middle of this road. So I'm panicking. You know, I'm, like, almost, like, screaming at my friend, like, what the hell is happening? You know, and finally I did get it started, and I just gunned it the hell out of there. And she wanted me to go back and, like, go back the other way and see what we could see. I was like, hell no, I'm getting the hell out of here. Shut up. I was like, I probably wasn't even being very nice. I was so scared. I just wanted to get out of there because I knew my car had never stalled. I know my car. I just knew something wasn't right, and I couldn't explain it, and I didn't want to find out. It was like, I didn't care what it was. I didn't care what did it. I just wanted to get the hell out of there. And that whole road had so much people talking about it, like, you know, about, you know, dark, you know, in the darkness, headlights behind you and your car stalling, and if you stopped on the abandoned railroad tracks and sprinkled baby powder, you would see these little footprints. So I was like, I was not having it. I was out of there. But that did happen as well. So that was very creepy. I was very scared. I still have no explanation for it. My car drove fine after that. It had a full tank of gas. I know, like, all the general questions. Did you run out of gas? Were you low on gas? No. I had a full tank of gas. No car trouble after that. My car rode fine. It just stalled in the middle of that road that was allegedly haunted. So, again, some more good stories for you for Halloween, or, you know, if you ever want to use them. But anyway, I hope everything's going great, and I, you know, keep listening to the podcast that I haven't heard yet, because I'm a fairly new listener, and I love what you're doing, and I have such a blast listening to everything, and I enjoy listening to everybody's personal experiences. But anyway, hope you have a great Halloween, and take care. Bye.
Okay, there was a lot in that story.
Yeah.
I think, first off, about the medicine from the medicine cabinet, mm-hmm. the way it happened, like, every night, like a routine, I almost think that's like a residual thing.
Okay.
I think that was probably something the older people that lived there did. They had to get their medicine out, take
sure.
it. And so they probably just, it's probably just a residual thing.
Yeah, it just became what it is.
Sure, sure. Now, I don't know about, you know, the kitchen cabinets and all that being open and left open. I mean, that's that we hear a ton, but I don't think the medicine cabinet thing was anything other than just residual. But the railroad track school bus legend, every neck of the woods has one.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says if you put flour or baby powder or some substance, you're going to see fingerprints or shoe prints. And I know that there has to be some place where that tragic story started.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know, this may be it, but it just seems like we get that one a ton. But the stalling car, that's something else, though. I mean, being that it was in, you know, good running order and everything, and if it did run out of gas, there's no way she would have just started it up and gunned it out of there.
The fact that it actually happened to her.
Yes.
Because it's usually part of the stories.
Uh-huh.
It's usually part of the urban legends of, and if you go here, this is likely going to happen. The only thing I would say about that, if one is trying to debunk something,
mm-hmm.
Is because there are areas where people seem to have these things happen, you almost have to wonder, is there something with that area? Is there some sort of like magnetic field that you happen to be running over or crossing and you're unaware of that screws with electronics or engines or what have you?
Sure.
I mean, especially more so today with vehicles and how computerized they are. Back when it was, you know, just, you know, metal and pistons and an engine and, mm-hmm. and all that, maybe it was a little more difficult for that to occur. But I would think today, just, you know, with some sort of, you know, extreme magnetism or something of that nature, you could essentially easily disable a vehicle, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to wonder about that sometimes, like what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, but You know, you also can't rule out the paranormal if there is, in fact, you can verify something happened. Unfortunately, a lot of times those areas where they have this bridge or that area in the country or whatnot, it's unverifiable.
Yeah.
But every once in a while it is. And those are the great ones.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the story. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Becca. Ghost Nun. We've heard that story, haven't we?
Yes.
We heard Ghost Nun already? Okay.
Yes.
I don't know why that's on this folder. Let's go over to Sheila. Actually, you know what? I believe Ghost Nun I put on there because this is actually her second call in, and that was what I was referencing, I think. Let's take a listen.
Okay.
Hey, guys. It's Becca. I called in on the Halloween live show with my Ghost Nun story, and I just want to start off by saying thank you. I looked into the spider effect that you had recommended, Jen, and it definitely explains why I can't keep technology working ever, which is kind of funny. But it definitely, the more I read into it, the more it does sound like a lot of stuff I deal with on a regular basis. So that was comforting to know. But I was calling in because I had just listened to one of the episodes on Spotify, which is how I got into you guys. I am an EPP now. It's a little more difficult because I don't have a computer since I can't seem to keep technology working. So I have to do it on my phone. But I just listened to one of the EPP episodes. It was like about I just remember they were referencing a ghost cat in it, where you guys had mentioned a ghost cat. And I wanted to call in with the three ghost cats that inhabit my dad's house, that every time I stay at my dad's house, I see regularly, and they all see regularly, and it's just come to accept them as part of the family. So my dad's house, it's in rural Pennsylvania. It used to be a doctor's office in the early 1900s, and then the last resident was an older woman who did actually pass away in the house. And actually every June, which is when she passed away, you can smell this like really pungent old lady perfume. And my dad always like greets her. He says that she opens the door for him sometimes when he's in a rush to work, which is funny. So the house has a lot of activity in itself. The basement, I feel like, has something darker in it, but I'll have to call in with that another day because that's a whole story in itself. But I had come back for, I believe it was Christmas or Thanksgiving, for my first semester of college, and I hadn't stayed at my dad's house too often at this house because my parents had been divorced for a while. And before I left for college, I had actually gotten kicked out of my mom's house, so I didn't really have anywhere else to come back to. So it was a new place for me to be staying. It wasn't a place I was familiar with. So I was still trying to get a feel of things. And my dad has a very, very large Akita and two Shelties. There's a lot of dogs, and they all bark at everything. So it was really unusual when I came home from a friend's house, and I was walking up to my bedroom, and the stairwell was dark, and I felt a cat brush past me. And I had always grown up with cats, so I knew the feeling. It didn't really surprise me too much. But I was surprised because I didn't hear the dogs bark or anything. So the next day, I asked my dad, I'm like, do you guys have a cat that I haven't seen? A new person in a cat's house, they usually don't greet you. And he's just like, no, why? And I'm like, well, because last night when I got home, I felt a cat brush past me on the stairs. And he's like, yeah, so there's actually three of them. Like, so you do have cats. He's like, no, I thought for the longest time that some strays had gotten in, but your mother, my stepmother, has come to the terms that they're ghost cats. And he went on to tell me further that there is a Cacalico cat in the kitchen and kitchen bathroom that if you walk into the kitchen every once in a while, you'll catch the tail end of the cat walking into the kitchen bathroom where there's no outlet. But there's no cat in there if you go and look. And then there's a gray cat that he said is probably the one that I saw last night that sits at the top of the stairs going up to me and my sister's room, and then we'll run down the stairs. And then he said that there's an orange tabby cat that sometimes crawls up on the foot of their bed in their bedroom. And I was just like, and you're not bothered by this in any way? And he's like, no, they don't do any harm. The dogs don't seem to be bothered by them, so we just let them be. And sure enough, throughout my stay there, I ended up seeing all three of the cats. And it was really unusual. The gray cat at the stairs was the one I usually saw the most. I would come home, and instead of turning on the lights and waking everybody up, because I usually come home pretty late, I would use my phone as a flashlight, and I'd flick it to the top of the stairs so I could see my way up the stairs. And sure enough, at the top of the stairs, you catch the reflection of two little eyes, like, of a cat, and then it would quick run past you, and you could actually physically feel it brush past you. It wasn't cold or anything. It felt like a real animal was there, but you turn on the light, and there's no animal there, and there's nowhere a cat could have ran off to or hid. It's just the strangest thing. But every time I hear you guys reference the ghost cats, or ghost pets on the show, I always think of my dad's three ghost cats. I'm pretty sure they have names for them too, because they're really into that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's my story, and I just wanted to share that with you guys. I'll definitely be calling in. I still have my list of other stories I need to call in with you guys. But I love the show, PP, and keep up the good work. Hope to hear this on the show. Bye.
If I could get you a ghost cat for Christmas, I would, because that would be the perfect thing for you.
Be awesome.
It'd be ghostly, it'd be a cat, and you would not be allergic to it.
That would be really cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I want a ghost cat.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool. We could probably, why don't somebody start marketing that?
How would you even do that?
I don't know. You tailor some sort of Ouija board that summons ghost cats.
Oh, sure, because that's a... for sure going to happen.
Follow instructions, and you only have so many letters on there, just the C-A-T.
Uh-huh.
That's all it can spell. It's like, I want an animal to appear in my home. What one should it be? And C-A-T is all it can spell. So then only cats can come through. Suppose tack. There's not much else you can spell with that.
No.
Kitty, you probably have a little more. Mm-hmm. Leeway. Feline, you could probably find some other words to spell. I think you have to limit the board to C-A-T.
Okay.
And if you do that, you can probably get some ghost cats.
Yeah.
There's some asshole cats out there, too. So, you talk about asshole people or ass souls. I mean, you could get the same thing with a cat, too. I mean, I've had some lovely cats, friendly, nice, and I've had some that I wouldn't want them coming back to haunt me because it wouldn't end well for me. So you could still open up that doorway pretty bad, not knowing what type of kitty is lurking behind the board.
Well, you might not be guaranteed to get a domestic cat. You could get a lion.
Exactly. I mean, it could go bad really quick.
Yeah.
I got to think this one through a little bit more. I'll figure it out, though. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. New episode of Seeing Ghosts out now, by the way. Episode 10, filled with all sorts of creepy stuff. There's a ghost cat video, I think, in episode 9 of Seeing Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly what I described as what I felt happening on my bed when I was a kid, where it felt like the cat was jumping up there and sleeping, where...
Sure.
The cat was. I never physically saw it. I never physically saw the blankets, pushed down. On this video, it shows that.
Oh, wow.
Someone's on their bed, and all of a sudden, boom, blankets go down. Now, I suppose you could argue it's someone's feet, or there's a thousand ways this could have been manipulated, sure. But you kind of take it at its word for what it is, and it looks pretty darn convincing.
Mm-hmm.
And, most of the people who submit stuff to our show, they have nothing to, to gain by. Sending this going, hey, this is kind of odd and creepy, and I thought you'd enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these are not out there on YouTube or anywhere else. They just, hey, check this out. What do you think? And that's one of them. So it's Seeing Ghost 9, I think, where you can see not the ghost cat itself, but the effects of a ghost cat.
Depression in the bed.
It's creepy. Anyway, that's at ghostpodcast.com. You sign up to be an EPP for $5 a month, and you can see that video and get all the other stuff there. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hi, Briskies. My name is Scarlett, and I'm calling from Southern California. I found your show on October 31st, Halloween, and I have been in love since. It's a great show. I've always kind of been on the fence about ghostly stuff and the paranormal. I mean, I've had some experiences myself, of which I'll tell you about one. But listening to your show really really gets you thinking, you know. So, as I stated, I do have one story I wanted to tell you. I did write in with one regarding my now husband's grandfather and what we think was possibly him and possibly my husband's uncle reaching out to us. I hope you liked that if you did read it. This story, though, it's about something, another one that happened to me. And it happened to me while I was in college. A friend of mine, it was a girl I was friends with back then. We had a bunch of classes together, so we'd always study. And it was for a final, I believe. Granted, this was like 4 years ago. I went over to her house to study. And before this, or actually it was her uncle's house. So before this, she'd always, you know, mentioned how she felt her uncle's house was haunted by, she didn't even know what, possibly something not human. I just know she felt really uncomfortable. She was very honest with the fact that she would use substances to kind of dull her mind so she wouldn't have to deal with whatever was in the house. You know, she would drink quite often. She would smoke pot quite often just to avoid having to deal with this and hopefully sleep through it. So, some of her experiences included hearing banging up and down the stairs like a bowling ball, in her words. I remember that distinctively. She described it as like someone throwing a bowling ball up and down the stairs and, you know, seeing something out of the corner of her eye, stuff like that. So, I mean, perhaps my experiences were influenced by this previous knowledge I had, but regardless, back to my story, I apologize. So I stayed over there for a night so we could, you know, pull an all-nighter, sleep a little bit, and then, you know, go on to our test the next day. And, I mean, as soon as I stepped through the door, I was uneasy. But again, whether or not that's because of what I already knew or whether or not I actually picked up on something, it's hard to say. But that house was really uncomfortable. I mean, my stomach was in knots right off the bat, and to be very honest, it was hard for me to concentrate on our studying. I felt so uneasy and sick and just so anxious, and I wanted to get out, but of course, especially at that time, I didn't have a car, so I was kind of stuck there. So I did end up staying the night. I didn't shower. I didn't want to be exposed like that. I mean, not that clothing, you know, possibly could stop much of an evil something, but it's security enough, you know. So, I didn't shower, you know, and that night we changed into our jammies and we slept in the same bed because she only had one bed and I hate sleeping on the floor. And we were close. We didn't mind sharing a bed. So that night we're sleeping. I'm a light sleeper to begin with. And probably my sleep was affected, but again, by the knowledge of this, who knows. But at one point in the night, I remember waking up and I just had the compulsion to look in the doorway. And I swear to God, I saw a man in the doorway just staring at me. But I don't, maybe a man? It was humanoid? I don't know. It just didn't look right. And I did, like, a little kid thing. I shut my eyes and, sorry, I'm getting emotional. I shut my eyes and got under the sheet and, you know, just tried to fall asleep. And I'm not religious, but, you know, I even tried praying at that point, trying to get whatever the heck it was away from me. So I'm, you know, I'm under the sheets and I was kind of like in that twilight sleep, you know, where you're kind of asleep, kind of not, like you're sort of acknowledging the things going on around you. And I feel Laura, my friend at the time, touching my hair, like she's petting my hair. And, you know, we're friends, but we're not really that affectionate. And so I went to kind of brush her away. And it wasn't her hand was not there. There wasn't anything, but it was like someone, like, you know, rubbing your scalp, you know, in a soothing way. But, you know, regardless, I felt not assaulted. That's a very strong word, but, you know, violated to an extent. And that's such an intimate thing to do. And that's what, whatever it was, felt like it could do with me. So again, very uneasy, sheet over my head, trying to fall back asleep. And so I'm trying, you know, again, going to that weird twilight sleep. And this time I feel something touching my butt. Something's touching my bottom and like rubbing my butt. And at that point, I just got up and went to the bathroom and kind of hyperventilated. and stayed in there for God knows how long, playing on my phone, you know, texting my now husband, you know, telling him what happened. And he kind of wrote it off as me, you know, just kind of freaking out and overthinking, you know. You already knew what was going on in that house, Scarlett. Like, you're just kind of playing yourself. But, you know, I did eventually go back to bed and, you know, lay down. And, you know, needless to say, did not get much sleep that night. But the next day, you know, I told Laura everything. And she just kind of wrote it off as, oh, he likes you. You know, oddly enough, not a compliment. But I never went there again. I refused to. She invited me plenty of times. You know, it was like, well, I could get through it, so can you. And I wasn't going to put myself in that situation if I didn't absolutely have to. Especially if whatever it was seemed to like me, I didn't want to be part of that either. So that's my story. Like I said, I had written in another, and so it seems like I have a slight history of this, you know, these things trying to reach out to me, possibly. So I don't know if you'd say I'm a sensitive or anything, but I do have other experiences, nothing quite as, you know, extreme as this one, more small things, and I can, you know, submit those if you'd like. But, you know, there it is, and so I hope you guys have a great day, and thank you so much for listening.
That is quite the touchy-feely ghost.
You think?
Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't think I'd be going back to that friend's house either. And I think that's one of those cases where it's probably, you know, she might be a little sensitive, but I think that was going to come through no matter what, because he was just a determined ghost.
I don't blame her for not wanting to go back.
No.
And for feeling that uncomfortable. Sometimes it's, you know, you can feel that way around people. Mm-hmm. And I think you can feel that way around ghosts mm-hmm. as well. And sometimes you just have to go with your gut.
Well, it's kind of like when you go to your friend's house and their dog starts humping your leg. Oh, he likes you. Mm-hmm. No, it's still not okay.
I don't care if he likes me.
If your ghost is, you know, molesting you, that's not okay either.
That's not acceptable behavior
no.
for the ghosts. No. Thank you for the call and sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Amber. I'm 25 years old. I'm from Wisconsin. I've been a listener for a couple weeks now, and I love the show. It makes my workday go by super fast. I did write in a story last week, and I haven't heard it on the show yet, but I wanted to tell you about another experience that I had. When I was about 19 years old, I moved into a lower apartment with one of my best friends. There were not any tenants in the upper apartment when we moved in, so we were alone in a two-family house. The day we moved in, my friend ran out to get us some food, and I was sitting in our living room on the couch talking to my boyfriend at the time on the phone, and I heard someone whisper my name, so I assumed it was him. I asked him why he said my name, and he said he didn't, so I just brushed it off, thinking I was hearing things. Later that night, my friend and I were watching movies in the living room, and we both heard someone whisper my name. And we instantly got scared because, like I said, we were the only ones in the house. And all of a sudden, there were very heavy footsteps that started running up and down the basement stairs. They continued for about 8 hours without stopping. The only time that they stopped was eventually when the sun started to come up the next morning. We didn't sleep at all that night. We stayed up with each other talking, trying to ignore it. We did break our lease and moved out the next week. I never looked up the history of the house to see if anybody had passed away there or anything like that. Don't even want to know at this point because it was one of the scariest experiences in my life. I don't know if it was a malevolent spirit or, you know, if it was just someone, a previous tenant or a previous owner who was, I guess, just trying to play tricks on us. There's not really a way to know at this point, you know, like you guys say, there's not really a way to explain anything or, you know, a way to know for something for sure. But anyway, that's my story. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to it. And I will be signing up to be an EPP very soon. Keep up the good work, guys. Thanks.
That's one of those cases where, and I'm sure they thought about this, or maybe they didn't, but it sounds like, I wonder if you had asked it to stop, if it would have stopped. The way it kept saying your name and it was just like going to stomp around. It's almost like it was wanting attention or mm-hmm. recognition that it was there. And I'm wondering, in a case like that, I mean, obviously they've moved on, but if you had asked it just to stop, if it would have, just because you acknowledge that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just laying the groundwork, okay, you're here, but I'm here too, and you're going to know that I'm here. I wonder if that would have changed the result.
It's amazing because sometimes that is the simplest thing to do, and that's what works.
Mm-hmm.
It's very bizarre, but that does seem to be a solution more times than not.
And that may have not been a solution in this case, or maybe they tried that, but
sure.
I'm just curious, in a situation like that, maybe that would have change the outcome.
Yeah. Thank you for telling us that story and sharing it with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
It's Sheila in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, calling in with part two to my story that I had called in, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Not sure if it came through okay, because I was kind of in a wonky place in my house. But anyway, I'm originally from New York, and we lived in quite a few houses growing up, but there was one in particular that we lived in for about, I think it was like 3 or 4 years. But anyway, I had previously mentioned that my cousin and I were getting dragged out of bed at night, and that my mom had done a cleanse. Well, part two of that, supposedly the history of this house was that an Amish family lived there, and that the members of the family started dying of like these weird illnesses. Like the mom died of like pneumonia or something, and supposedly the 2 or 3, maybe 4 children that were there died as well, and then the husband committed suicide in the barn. And that was what we were told. I, to this day, cannot find any record of it. You would think there would be a record, but I mean, this is probably from like the early 1900s, my mom had told me. But anyway, the house was huge, 2 stories. The floors were concrete. There was no carpet, no tile. We were literally in the middle of nowhere, and when I mean nowhere, I mean like to the point of going out in the yard and seeing absolutely no one around you, because your nearest neighbor is almost 2 miles down the road. So anyway, we didn't have any activity for probably 3 to 4 weeks, and that was good. So we had decided that everything should be okay, and that there's probably nothing there anymore. So we were good. My cousin and I were laying in bed one night, and we heard like a thumping. We decided to go check it out. Now, mind you, the upstairs was completely not in use. It was just used as storage, and we were told that we had to stay out from up there because it was just old and rickety, and you know, the floorboards up there hadn't been done in a long time, so that there was a concern of me and my sister and my cousin like falling through the floor or something. I don't know. But we decided to go upstairs. So we go upstairs, and as we're on our way up the stairs, there's this long hallway, and to the left there's what looked like probably a bedroom. To the right, most likely another bedroom of sorts. And then at the very, very end, there's this big like alcove area. And it looked like it could have been like some kid's play area at some point in time. And there was a rubber ball on the floor. And we picked it up and bounced it, and it made the same sound that we had heard from downstairs. And I said, oh, well, that's kind of weird. And we had never seen this ball before, and it was like a rubber bouncy ball. And we had never seen that before. And I know neither one of us owned them, because we had 4 dogs at the time, and, well, they would eat anything. So we didn't keep that kind of stuff around. We thought it was kind of weird, but we took it downstairs with us. And despite what our mom had said and what my aunt had said, we still had the Ouija board. So we pulled it out from under the bed and put the bouncy ball next to it and decided, let's see if we can talk to the owner of this ball. Maybe the owner of this ball is one of the children that had lived here at some point in time. So we called upon whatever spirits we could, basically, at that point. And I'm laughing just because it was silly, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, and we're playing with a Ouija board and some weird, mysterious ball. As an adult, that was probably the dumbest thing I've ever done. But anyway, moving on. We started asking questions like, is this your ball? And it said yes. And from what we could gather, the girl's name was Anna. I'm guessing it was short for something, just because Anna, that's kind of a really common name. I don't know. We couldn't find any records. But anyway, supposedly her name was Anna and she had a brother. And I don't remember ever asking his name. But we had asked if she would like to play with the ball, and she said yes, and then the ball started, like, kind of moving just a little bit, and, you know, I was punching my cousin, like, hey, knock it off, you know, stop making it move, it's creepy. And all of a sudden, I hear, like, this really deep growl, like, behind me. I'm like, what is that? And I was too scared and frozen to even move or look. I looked at my cousin and her mouth is just, I swear, her jaw's like on the floor. And I said, Jamie, what's wrong? She says, oh my. I said, well, what? What's wrong? And she says, just don't turn around. I said, okay. I didn't listen. I slowly turned around and saw a face in the mirror. And it was really hard to make out what this face looked like. It looked kind of like a skeleton, because there's two sunken holes where there would be eyes, and there is some kind of a mouth, but man, it looked pissed off, and it was kind of blurry around the edges. It was really, really hard to make out, but I screamed at the top of my lungs and ran out of the room, and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and my mom gets up and she's like, what are you guys doing? And we quickly pushed everything back under the bed. We're like, oh, nothing, you know, we're just playing around. And she's like, get your asses back in bed. So, you know, we take our asses back to bed like we were told to, and we're laying there. And I really couldn't sleep for the rest of that night because I was too scared of whatever it was that I saw in the mirror. Fast forward a couple of days, I was getting ready for school and I was doing my hair and I saw this face behind me. But I was looking in the mirror and it was behind me and it's just growling at me and I had no idea why. And at this point, I would like, now that I'm an adult and I'm looking back on it, it was most likely some kind of a demon of sorts. I don't know. I asked it, I said, who are you? Leave me alone. And it just growled at me. And then I felt like this, and then the face went away, but I felt like a cold yet warm, like, scratch on my back. And, you know, I screeched, you know, I was like, ow, because it hurt. And I couldn't see that part of my back. So I called for my cousin and she came in and I said, what's on my back? I said, it really hurts. And there was 3 slashes along the small of my back, my lower back. And she said, what the hell? And I said, I don't know, I didn't do it. So I told her about the face in the mirror and her jaw just dropped. And she's like, I don't know what it is. And I said, well, whatever it is, we just called it back. So we broke down, told my mom about it. And she said, just go to school. When you come home, it'll be taken care of. And we said, okay. So we went to school, we came home, and as soon as we walked in the house, the air was just heavy. The tension was just so thick you could cut it with a knife, I swear. And my mom, and she said, I don't know what the hell you guys fucked around with, she says, but it's not happy, and it's not going to leave that easily. And I asked her what she meant, and she said, you guys have most likely summoned forth some kind of a freaking demon. Are you guys insane? And I said, Mom, we were just messing around. You know, we were just messing around. Now that I'm an adult, I realize the seriousness of this. But as a child, I was messing around and it was terrible. This thing just wouldn't leave us alone. And God, there's so much happened in that house. I mean, aside from this weird demon, whatever it is, that wouldn't leave me alone, that scratched my back, that would growl at me in the frickin' mirror every other day, it seemed. I don't know. But I started to lose track of time. I started to withdraw from my friends, and I just didn't want to leave the house. I felt like if I left the house, I was leaving something behind. And I think whatever that was attached to me for a long time. And, sorry, and the only reason I say I think it attached itself to me is because until we moved out of that house, it wouldn't leave me alone. There were some nights I would lay in bed and I don't even remember sleeping. I just remember staring at the ceiling all night. Was I possessed? No, I don't think so. Was I being haunted by a demon? Maybe. I don't know. There's just so much more, but I know this is already getting long and there's going to be like a part 3 to this. But anyway, thank you guys for everything, for having a community where we can, you know, divulge this stuff that not everyone believes in, but that we all have a common ground in. I am a sensitive, an empath. I am a practicing pagan, and I have been since I was 11. That's a story for another time. But anyway, I love you guys, and I really hope to hear this on a future podcast. And I am a proud EPP and listen to you guys all the time. Well, until next time, love you. Bye.
I think that's a perfect cautionary tale on thinking your house is haunted and bringing a Ouija board into the mix.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
That's one for replay in Ouija Awareness Month.
I think so.
Next year.
We should compile an episode and play it in October.
To make notes on these.
Yeah.
Where are the stories so we can pull those back and kick off October of 2017 with a bunch of those. Yeah, I agree. I mean, very pretty much straightforward. Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think something dark was brought through. So thank you for recounting that story to us here on Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. You can sign up to do that on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get on there, check it out. And help us stay on the air. Only $5 a month to become an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.